are listening to the Cleveland Guardians Fancast, hosted by Quincy Wheeler and friends, a podcast about the Cleveland professional baseball team and its fans.
It's Quincy Wheeler, and I'm here with the Guardians Fancast, and I'm here with Natalie from Guardians Twitter, Nat in Ohio. Natalie, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Oh, doing great.
Great.
Excited to begin talking Guardians baseball as the season approaches. So let me start off with this question, Natalie. How did you become a Cleveland Guardians baseball fan?
It's really interesting because I actually grew up a diehard Detroit Tigers fan. I watched almost every game, sitting out on the front porch with a little box TV. Grew up idolizing guys like Justin Verlander and Victor Martinez and Miguel Cabrera. I really did not like the Guardians as a kid, but all my friends were Guardians fans. I grew up in Toledo. I was a Cleveland sports fan otherwise. I liked the Cavaliers. I liked the Browns. And a few years ago, I finally decided to give it in and start rooting for the Guardians. And so I think I made the right choice. I've enjoyed watching the last couple seasons, and I'm really excited about this season. That's it.
That is an interesting journey. Now, I have to wonder what if the old embers of that love for the Tigers might awaken if things change and the Guardians become a bad team and the Tigers become a good team. What do you think?
No.
No judgment. I'm just wondering, you know, sometimes.
It's like, the Browns have been bad my entire life. the Cavaliers have been so up and down my entire life. I'm committed to the Guardians at this point.
Well, so what you're really saying then to me is that you're switching to the Guardians had nothing to do with success. In fact, it was more maybe that you looked at them and were like, they haven't won a World Series in 75 years. I should really be rooting for them because I like the Browns and the Cavs, and they're usually pretty bad.
I love Cleveland. I love the vibe of Cleveland. I've never lived in Cleveland, but got friends from there, and so it's part of that too.
Yeah, sorry. What would you say is the vibe of Cleveland? Like, if you were talking to an outsider, what would you say is the vibe of Cleveland?
It's like Philadelphia, but the Midwest almost. You know, you've got that energy and that love for the city, and the people of Cleveland. You know, I feel like they have an idea of their city, like this is the greatest place on earth. When you know. Same with people who aren't from Philly, really don't look at it that way. And I love that about Cleveland. Other places don't have that. Detroit doesn't have that. Toledo doesn't have that. And Cleveland, and like compared to other Ohio cities, Cleveland has such a unique culture. I don't really think Columbus has a culture. And Cincinnati's fine, but it's not Cleveland. So
Yeah, it's interesting to think about. I'd be interested to hear from folks who live in Columbus if they think Columbus has a culture. And I do think I know what you're saying. I think Columbus may be kind of working their way towards a culture. They kind of there's a little bit of a competing thing going on because there's obviously like Ohio State is just this huge center of life in Columbus. And then you have the politics of Columbus, which are atrocious, obviously. And then you have the people. And I think maybe if the people there got a little bit more prominent and all that, it might be kind of a cool culture there. But anyway, I'm going a little far afield. I like how you said that Philadelphia, but Midwest. There's a warm and friendliness to a lot of what Cleveland is that is something worth holding on to. All right. So you became a Guardians fan. Now you're diehard. You said that you're excited about the season coming up. Tell me a little bit about why you're excited about this season.
Well, I'm excited about, you know, the new management. I'm really excited about Vogt and what he's going to bring to the table. You know, the Guardians account has been posting about the power of friendship the last couple of days, and it's true. There's those power of friendship baseball teams that are, you know, they will their way to the postseason, to October, and I really feel like that could be this team, even if it doesn't, even, you know, if the Guardians didn't really go out and spend money on a big bat in the outfield or anything this offseason, like people wanted them to. Like I definitely wanted them to.
Yeah.
But you know, there's teams like the Diamondbacks last year who really put it together, and the Guardians 2 years ago. So I think that's exciting. And then there's prospects. Chase DeLauder. He's really been tearing it up. I hope he gets more ABs. Same with Camazzardo, and I think those two are really exciting, and they could fill some positional gaps, and I think that there's just more to come. The pitching rotation, I'm excited for. I'm excited to have Bieber and McKenzie back. So I'm really just looking forward to seeing like a whole team, at least for like 2 weeks. and then see some of the younger guys come up in June and September is how it goes, I think.
Yeah. I like how you said that. And I also am very excited to see what Steven Vogt does. I feel like they made a great hire from everything that I've seen, and I think we'll get to see more of that pretty soon. I see right now, I see a lot of people raising alarm about them not scoring a lot of runs in these spring training games. Just wish that I could remind people that spring training games, you just shouldn't read much into them at all. Like, I can imagine right now, as Natalie and I are talking, the Guardians and Dodgers are playing, and I am sure that there are Dodgers fans on the internet who are like, we've only scored one run in six innings against the Guardians. What's wrong with our team? It's like, nobody, you don't know what these guys are doing each game. They could be going out there saying, hey, try to be a free swinger tonight, or hey, try to look for the curveball from this guy, because it'd be good to try to practice hitting that curveball. And everybody knows the pitchers. The other day, Barlow came out, and I think all he threw was curveballs. Everybody knew what was coming. He gave up like four runs or whatever. It's just funny to see people freak out about spring training to me.
Yeah, that first game when Cookie was pitching and he gave up, or he got in a jam in the first inning. And I was like, well, but you know, it's spring training, right? I think I saw somebody post that the 0-16 Lions and the 0-16 Browns both went 4-0 in the preseason, and you know, different sport, but it's true. The preseason is so
And if you go back and you look at spring training standings, I know for a fact that one of those years where the Royals lost 100 games, they were the best team in spring training. They won like the vast majority of their games. And people might be like, well, that was just because a lot of their prospects were playing. That was several years ago. They've been terrible for a long time. So, you know, you just can't read too much into it because you don't know what guys are working on. But so, yeah, I think there's plenty of reasons to be excited. I do wish they had added an outfielder. I still wish that, but it's kind of to the point now where I just need to root for the guys that they have and hope for the best. Who are some of your favorite players on the Guardians?
Well, one, I'm really, this offseason, I'm really getting into Stephen Kwan. I saw him competing at the chess.com event. I grew up playing a lot of chess, so I big fan. I'm a big fan of Tanner Bibee. Watching him come up last year was really exciting. And as somebody who I fell out of favor with baseball for a while, I quit playing anything besides basketball as a kid. So I fell out of favor with a lot of sports, but you know, I'm very excited to watch him. It feels like watching Justin Verlander again, less strikeouts, but you know, it's still, it's really exciting. And it's cool to have that feeling again now, like in my 20s, compared to when I was, 9 years old or younger than 9 years old, watching Justin Verlander pitch. And
that's a good way to think about it. You're getting to see kind of thing from a new perspective, and hopefully Bibby will find his way to more strikeouts. I think he probably will find his way there. It's just a process of figuring out the best pitch mix and commanding that fastball. If he commands that fastball, he'll get strikeouts a lot quicker. But yeah, it'd be hard to, I mean, Justin Verlander, of course, is a Hall of Famer, so it's going to be hard to live up to that. I always, whenever people talk about Justin Verlander, of course, I've been a Cleveland baseball fan my whole life since I started liking baseball around 13 years old. I remember vividly going to a game with Guardians, the Indians at the time, and the Tigers. Justin Verlander was pitching, and it was always like the Indians kind of had his number for a little while, so it was like, oh, maybe we can do something against him. But he was on that day, and I think he had 12 strikeouts and 7 innings, allowed 1 hit. And I just sat there and decided I was just going to enjoy it, because when he was on, it was like, how does anybody ever hit him? How does anybody hit this person? You know?
Yeah.
And there was, it's enjoyable to watch that if you don't let your own emotions get involved too much. So I can appreciate being a young kid and saying, oh yeah, Justin Verlander, I'll watch that.
Oh, it was like watching LeBron in his Miami years, you know. You wanted to hate him, but it's like, and you did hate him a little bit, but on the other end, it's like, he's from Akron and he's the greatest basketball player alive. It's, yeah, you know, how can you hate him? So it's
and after a while, like LeBron now, I think just about everybody in Cleveland, pretty much, not everybody, but most people probably root for LeBron to do well. And I think that's kind of how it goes after a while. Guys become legends to the point, well, like Miggy Cabrera got a bunch of ovations in Cleveland at the end. And man, he was public enemy number one for us for a long time. He's batting like 550 in Progressive Field. But at the end of it, you're like, you just appreciate the greatness. And that's a good thing. And hopefully we can do that with Jose all the way through. You know, I always try to remind people that he's going to decline. He's not going to be the player that he was probably another couple of years. He'll still be good, but he won't be great. And people are going to start complaining about the amount of money he makes. And I can't wait to tell them to shut up. Yes. You're watching greatness. Don't ever forget that. And every now and then you'll see that greatness pop out. Like even when he's more of like a, 120 WRC plus guy, 115, 110, he's still going to have games where he hits 3 homers and shows you who he's capable of being. And you gotta go through the ride to enjoy it. Do you have a chance to get to some games during the year then? Are you still out in the Toledo area?
So no, I'm in and out of Toledo. I'm elsewhere for school, but I was actually supposed to be at the Pride Night game last year, the 14 inning.
Oh yeah.
Astros, and the night before I had to back out. And it's probably my greatest regret of 2023. maybe like it's up there for sure. That I was not at that game. So I didn't make it. I was originally like, I had some plans to try and catch them when they were at Wrigley for a week or for a series last year. I almost was there and everything just kind of fell through. So this year, you know, if the opportunity arises, I'm not skipping out. I can't do it again. I was very fortunate. My good pal Christos, who is around Guardians Twitter. Yeah, Christos and I had worked together and were good friends otherwise and before and after. But Christos swung in and got me the Pride hat that night. And so I'm still, I'm forever indebted to him for that. But
that's great. Yeah. Yeah, Christos, he seems like a great guy. I just know him from Guardians Twitter, but he seems Seems great. Always enjoy seeing his content. So yeah, that's great. Yeah, my son and I were at the game, and he's my son. I think it was Elliot, so he's my oldest. So he was 4, and so I couldn't stay for the whole thing because I had to get him in bed at some point. But they started the comeback. As I was heading down the elevator, I was like pumping my fist in the elevator, and then I followed it on the way home. So, yeah, that was a fun memory I can tell them about someday. And it was a fun crowd. Everybody was having a good time. And so hopefully you'll get a chance to come and see him this year. That'll be great. Well, I appreciate you sharing your fun story and your thoughts about the Guardians. I hope people will find you, Natalie, on Twitter, at Nat in Ohio, and just give her a chance to be part of all the fun stuff we'll be doing in Guardians Twitter this year. All kinds of great memes and storylines will unfold, and Tanner Bibee will be striking people out, and Stephen Kwan will be getting on base like a bandit. It'll be great. What's that?
I said fingers crossed that he's...
Yeah, let's be optimistic. It's March 1st. We can be as optimistic as we want to be.
You're right. You're right. Tristan McKenzie's going to be back in full force this year.
No elbow problems.
Hosey's hitting 30 home runs.
MVP season. Will Brennan, 20 homers out of nowhere. Am I being too optimistic there? That would just really solve the problems if we just found an outfielder that could hit 20 homers.
Karen Jack's back. His pants are going to fit. Everything.
Yeah. I felt a little dread today. I know this can't be part of the optimistic, but I felt a little dread today about Stefan's bone bruise and Karinchak's shoulder. Not that I was expecting a lot out of Karinchak, but I'm like, I hope some of these relievers are ready to step in. But,
you know, I watched a couple AAA games. He pitched. He was pretty solid. He was really solid in AAA. So hopefully he'll come back this year. Hopefully he got it figured out. But
yeah,
I don't know.
He can get the strikeouts, so that's a good thing to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, Natalie, thank you so much for joining us. Look forward to talking to you again sometime.
Thank you.
This has been the Cleveland Guardians Fancast. You can find us on any major podcast platform. Please remember to like, subscribe, download, rate, and review. Thank you for listening.